Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the Light the Fight podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. With me, as always, are my number one OGs in the world, K. Scott and Rojo. Fellas, how you doing?
Can't complain, man. I'm feeling good. If you guys can see me right now, I'm looking like a red bone out here, meaning that my face looks purple. I've been in the sun all day from football 707, so I look like a plum. There we go. But I'm feeling good. Can't touch my face, but I'm feeling like a plum.
Hey, man, black don't crack though. You look young. You look good. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, you should have a bucket hat on at least. You know where bucket hats?
Yeah, I don't.
At least get one of those lifeguard hats, Kay. Get one of the lifeguard hats with the string on it. Those are good for coaches.
Yeah,
I'm tripping. Good ones.
Yeah, I mean, I have one of those for my weekends while I'm coaching kids. But I mean, I'm doing awesome though. It's a good week. It's been good weather, and I think the weather always make you feel a whole lot better. So it's been great.
Oh yeah, when the sun comes out, it definitely kicks in the mood. You mm-hmm. want to go outside, mm-hmm. do something, have a barbecue or something like that. So yeah, I'm with you guys on that one. Well, let's go ahead and queue it up. We got some more questions here, so we're gonna answer in this episode, as we always do, answer one question, and then we'll let you guys get back to your normal lives, you listeners. But then we'll hit you up with another question. So keep on following us on Apple, iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you consume your podcasts, and also you can get some of our clips and some of our old episodes on YouTube. But if you want a premiere subscription to get all of our videos of all of our episodes, go to www.patreon.com/lightthefight, and that will give you, even though these are OG Therapy episodes, that will give you it'll cost about $5, $6, $7, something like that, but it'll give you all the episodes we I've done privately, stuff that hasn't been on podcasts, but all the podcast episodes, you'll be able to watch the video content through Patreon. So, and also it really helps us keep the lights on, make sure that we got all the bells and whistles that we need to give you this delicious ear candy. So,
mm-hmm. ear candy. All right, candy.
So who's got the question for us today?
Okay. I'll go ahead and state the question first and then pass it off to you, extreme intelligent people. So you can go ahead and kickstart it. So the question that we have on this episode is, how do I tell my parents I don't want to go to church and I don't believe in their religion?
Well, right before we got on the podcast, we went through and picked a few questions out of our huge list of questions we had. And this one stood out, and I'm pretty sure Kay was like, hey, I'll go last on this one. Yep. Cause I'll go last. I want to see what you guys have to say first in this one. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us not being from Utah, but I think, you know, because we all came to Utah, we found it really quickly that there is a dominant religion here in the state of Utah. And that's, you know, the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, which is their actual official name, but Mormons is the nickname. And so Mormonism, whatever you want to call it. And so as a therapist, since I've been working here, I've been working in private practice in Utah since 2008, when I moved here from California, I found out really quickly that it's a big part of the culture. It's a big part of the community. And, you know, I think no different, like if you go down to the South, right? Like Kenneth, mm-hmm. you're in Texas. I know mm-hmm. you're in Alabama, certain parts where, you know, religion is part of people's lives. Like it's, in fact, it's a huge part of their life. Yep. Other places, like where I came from, Southern California, not so much. I mean, right. I'm not saying there weren't religious people, but for how many people you have, most people aren't going to some sort of church on a Sunday or a Saturday, whatever their belief system's day of worship is. So I just want to put out there that religion is a very personal thing. You know, we are the social Switzerland here on this podcast. So we're definitely not going to be telling someone when we answer this question, go to church, don't go to church, vote for this president, don't vote for this president. Politics, religion, those types of things, we'll answer questions like this, but those can be very divisive conversations. Those can cause mm-hmm. a lot of beef and confrontation in families and friends. So when we answer these questions, we're going to share it from the relationship perspective, as opposed to, you know, whether this kid should go to church, not go to church, because those are personal decisions.
Right.
And religion and politics, in my opinion, are very personal choices. So I don't want to like give anyone advice what they should or shouldn't do. So having given that disclaimer, I've had this come across, countless times where I've worked with families. And because Mormonism is the predominant religion here in Utah, it's usually a kid doesn't want to go to church. They say they don't believe in the religion. And I'm just saying, this is the report what I get. And the parents like, hey, you know, this is really important to us. Our kid doesn't get up for church. They're anti the church. Sometimes they're like hardcore anti. Other times the kids are just lazy and just don't want to get up on Sunday morning. Right. Some kids, I'm like, do you really hate the church? Like, well, I hate that I got to get up early. I'm like, right. Okay, fair enough. I get it. You know, they've been getting up all week long. But as you can imagine, for many parents, it's hard not to take this personal. Right. So, for example, if you have a favorite food, a favorite restaurant, and I'm using a very simple example for this, and it's something that you're just part of your day-to-day life, it's part of like, you know, something that you and your family, it's like, this is just one of your favorite things. And then you have a kid that hates it or wants nothing to do with it. And it could be a sport, it could be anything. Let's say you're a football coach, your whole life's about football, and your kid's like, football sucks, wants nothing to do with football. And you're like, hey, now that kind of hurts my feelings. Like, it's like,
right.
Well, it's like, 100%. Because it becomes a part of you. And so if something's a part of you, naturally you're going to want to share that goodness with your loved ones, and you want them to accept it just like you've accepted it. You want them to have the beliefs, the feelings, the passion behind it. And the fact of the matter is, that's not always going to be the case. So back to the question,
right.
How do I tell my parents? When I've had kids come and tell me this, I have to take consideration that their parents don't want to hear this. But also on the other side, if this is one of those kind of elephants in the room and the kid's coming out sideways on their parents, being disrespectful and all these other things, but this thing is looming in the background where they just don't want to go to church and it's causing a lot of confrontation, well, then I do help kids talk to their parents about this, because right. they should talk to their parents about their feelings and what they got going on. This is not the old school days where it's like, oh, my parents can't handle the truth, so I can't tell them anything that may disrupt right. them. Now, do kids feel that their parents can't handle certain truths? Of course. But in today's world, I think parents, generally speaking, are more accepting and more understanding if their kids can have difference of opinions, feelings, or beliefs. But let's be honest. How much does a 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old, how much can you really put under the blanket of believe? I'm doing air quotes here. Like, I don't believe in, let's say it's not a religion. It could be like, I don't believe in this science that I'm seeing on YouTube. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. How many times are your beliefs going to change throughout your teenage years, your young adult years? And when I say change, just evolve. Like when I got into, just as an example, when I first got into mental health, I was, you know, I'm fresh into it. I took one class and I'm thinking, I'm like, hey, medication for depression, anxiety, those types of medications, in my mind, it's like, it's for weak people. You know, people that take medications because they didn't do X, Y, or Z, you know, they're just taking the shortcut. They don't want to put in the work. And, you know, no one really needs medication, because I saw when I was first in school, someone showed me a bunch of statistics about all the side effects of medication. So I was like, they don't need no medication. Well, then I got a job working at a psychiatric hospital, and about a week working in the hospital, it was a full moon. And no joke, they told me to go, oh, just wait till this weekend when the full moon comes. Because I was like, hey, it's pretty mellow in the psych hospital. Just wait till the full moon. Just wait till the full moon. I go, you guys joking? What, werewolves going to come? And they're like, no, wait till the full moon. Those doors are going to fly open. Police officers are going to escort people in, drop them off, unhandcuff them, and be like, good luck, right. and then leave. And I'm like, what? No way. Sure enough, that full moon hit. And who do you think was the first person, once all these people came in just wiling out? I mean, I'm restraining people left and right. Because it can get pretty violent, pretty crazy, right? It is a psychiatric hospital. And I next thing imagine. You know, I'm like holding this one person down, look around, hey, man, who's got the shot? Where's the medicine? And my one coworker who I had this conversation about, I remember she looked at me, gave me a look like, oh, mister, you want the medicine now, huh?
Yeah, now you want it.
Like, oh, now you think people, I was like, you know, I think maybe there are some circumstances where people might need some medication. What I found out is that when people are completely not in the right state of mind, talk therapy and talking to them, that's not always going to do the right trick, right? And so you have to be able to have you know, you have to be able to have something, right? So at that particular time, I believe that medication was not working. I don't believe that anymore. Now, I know the side effects, this and that and the other, but the reason why I bring this up is because as young people, the beliefs are always evolving or always changing.
Right.
So I tell parents, I say, listen, if your kid wants to talk about this stuff, let him get better at talking to you about difficult things. That way you can get better at listening to things that you don't want to hear versus them holding things inside, you wondering why your kid never talks to you. And then it blows up into a big argument. You're like, just tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on. And they go, fine. You want to know what's going on? I hate our church. I don't want a church. And the parents like, oh, we weren't ready for that. And then they get all defensive and pissed off. Then they got to come see me because the family drama is just all off the chart, right? So I say, hey, listen, let them get better. So my advice to a young person when they want to approach their parents like this, talk to some family members first. So for example, if you have an uncle or an aunt, someone that maybe is a little bit on the what you'd call a cooler side, maybe they're more understanding. Yep. Maybe there's a family friend who's kind of in the middle. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm a part of this religion. However, you know, they're not as orthodox, as extreme version as your parents. Someone that kind of has influence over your parents, and just tell them, hey, listen, I want to talk to my parents. I don't want to argue with my parents. I want to tell my parents how I'm thinking, feeling, but I'm scared. I'm worried that they're going to restrict me or ground me or whatever. Get insight from people who know your parents and who also have insight to your parents' beliefs about that subject and ways that you could approach them. Then when you do go approach your parents, you should approach them with a peace offering. Say, hey, listen, I want to talk to you about something that's really important. And by the way, when I say a peace offering, if you bring this up as a kid to your parents in the middle of a fight, when you feel like your back's up against the wall and they're taking away your phone and grounding you and you're like, well, I don't want to go to church anymore. Your religion sucks. Not that's not what I'm suggesting. That's not the time to bring that up.
Right.
Okay? The time to bring it up is like, it's more like a thought. Like, hey, mom and dad, like, can we talk for a second? I don't want to, this isn't like an argument or fight or whatever. Just if you guys probably notice, I have been kind of slow to get to church. Right. I've been giving you guys a hard time about it. I guess if I'm totally honest, I'm just really struggling to know if like this is right for me or struggling to know like, you know, if this is what I should do. Like, mom and dad, can I ask you a question? And this is where it gets very clever. Yeah. Have you always, since the day you're born, have you always just believed in this church or this religion? Did you just always know, never question, never anything? Or can you relate to a little bit what I'm talking about? See, the reason why I would rather have a kid have a conversation with their parents about this is because parents are going to be very protective of their own religion. So if you just come attacking your parents, you guys listen to this, and start just telling them all the things you don't like about it, and this, that, I know in the Mormon church, the biggest thing they've been having in recent years, like, you know, well, I can't be a part of a church that hates gay people. That's what I heard one of my clients say to their parent. Well, I wasn't there when they said it. When they came to my office, they told me what they said. I was like, well, that didn't go well, huh? Like, no, we got in a big fight, big argument. The mom was like, my sister's gay. How could you say that? She's like, well, you don't act like I heard when you were around your friends making fun of gay people. And it was just like this really bad conversation. That's not what you want, right? So people are going to be protective of it. Also, two kids, if you go into it with a fight or like I have to stand my ground and prove to my parents that this is hurting my life or it's bad for me, a part of this, then you are insulting them before the conversation even got going. Before the conversation got going, you're already throwing shade at them. Like, I hate the thing that you love the most, but besides that, you're not that bad. Like it's just not going to go well. So have a conversation. But if you ask your parents, you guys, if you ask your parents, hey, have you guys always believed in this? Is this something that's, because for me, I feel like this pressure that I have to believe in it right now. I don't know. I don't know if I do. Instead of just saying, I don't believe in it. I think that's a very bold statement when you're young and you just have one experience with something.
Right.
So that's the approach I have. Conversation, talk to a family member, close friend. You know, if there's like a, one of your parents' good friends that you kind of call uncle or aunt, you have a close relationship with them. Maybe you're friends with their kids, like have conversation with people, bring up to your parents about a concern, something you're thinking, feeling. And let that conversation go, because in that conversation, especially in the Mormon church, they have a very big thing, the doctrine talking about free agency, where they'll always talk about, hey, listen, we have free agency, meaning we have the choice. And then in our choices, we learn lessons. If we make a good choice and like, wow, that really worked for us. Like our brain's like, note to self, that's going to give you the outcome you want. If you make a bad choice, then that also is an opportunity, invitation to learn a lesson, and you can learn something from that. The fear is if kids make too many bad choices, well, then they're going to get in bad habits. They're going to date the wrong people. They're going to get addicted to things, depressed, whatever it may be. So a lot of times, and this is going to the parents now that I'm talking to, a lot of times parents will want to make sure that their kids don't ever bump up against these tough times in life, and they want to protect their kids. So they'll say things like, hey, listen, the church or the religion provides you safety from all these hardships if you just act a certain way and do certain things. Well, the problem with that approach and that delivery is that there's a lot of holes in it. Just because it doesn't matter what religion you are, just because you read the books, just because you can memorize all the hymns, doesn't mean that bad things can't happen to you.
Right.
And so to a kid's brain, it's like, well, grandma, she went to church every week and she prayed, stuff like that. She got cancer and died 2 months later. Like, what? I don't understand. So then parents getting these like, well, and I'm like looking at parent go, you didn't think this through too well, did you, before you started talking to your kid about this? Because in their mind, they think that they're making an argument to convince their kid to go to church. Mm-hmm. The best way to convince your kid to go to church, if it really is a good church, you really believe in it, you are an example of it. So whatever the church is saying, you do those things, because sometimes parents don't always do what God says to do, right? Like, did God tell you to curse me out and you know, hit me upside the head last night? Dad, shut up. Right?
You know, mind your business.
So mind your business. We'll talk about that on Sunday. On Sunday, I'll be praying, I'll be asking for forgiveness. Basically, I'm saying we all are in need of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Mormon church, like Catholic, whatever, there's usually some sort of forgiveness portion of the doctrine. Free agency and forgiveness, those are very common. So last thing I'll say about this before I have you guys chime in on it is that when parents come at their kids, or when the parents listen to their kids with, hey, listen, we just want to give you an opportunity to talk about your thoughts and feelings. As a family, we go to church on Sundays. This is something that we do. How about we make church something? It's a family time. If you do this for us, we'll do some solids for you. I'm talking about the kids who don't want to go. But if you try to use that, hey, everyone goes to church, this is our family thing, you have to do this. Well, then now what you're doing is you're putting God in the middle of your relationship. Last time I checked, God doesn't tell parents they have to force their kids to go to church. Maybe I'm wrong in the doctrine. You know, I'm pretty well versed in the Mormon doctrine, well versed in other churches, because I've counseled lots of people of churches.
Right.
There's not that part where it's like you have to make your kids do something. It's there's free agency, and you want to be an example to your kids. And they use terminologies like gentle persuasion. You want to gently persuade your kids by saying, hey, listen, this is what we do. Now, when some kids say, oh, I don't want to go, and parents are like, well, hey, we're not going to leave you at home alone to play, you know, Xbox, whatever. Then I encourage the parents to negotiate with the kids, say, listen, this is a family thing. We're going to go do this. If you do this for us, we'll do something out for you. It's like negotiate and bargain, as opposed to just trying to put down that, you know, that hammer. I'm like, you're doing it whether you like it or
right.
not. Now, I know I said a lot of stuff, but this is one of those questions I kind of want to take the lead on, obviously, because it's more a question that I have a lot more experience. But I'm wondering, from your guys' own personal experiences, or just from your experiences, what are some of your thoughts?
Thank you for sharing everything, because that was some real good insight, first off. And my household growing up, I mean, my granny was big in church every Sunday. Like, she was that person that had the nice hat. Like, had the, I gotta have.
She had a fan. Did she have the fan?
Yep. She had the fan. She had the hat, and her thing was just like, this is what it is, and this is how it's going to be. And I'm like big on church. Now, for my brothers, sisters, my mom, and everybody. My mom, she, you know, went to church. We all went to church, and we're Baptists. You know, we're Baptists, which to me, it's like, you know, you can go every Sunday, but that doesn't mean that you, you know, like, oh, like I need to go every Sunday. It's not that you don't have to. I got to go every Sunday. It's just this
the way we grew up.
Yeah, the way that it's we did it in our household. And like my mom, like when you talk about give it, like, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna give you this, and we'd give that. My mom used to say, like, hey, you want to go out and play on Sunday? Go to church. If you don't go to church on Sunday, then you're not able to play outside. Yeah. So it just kind of like clicked in. And for this kid that asked this question, you know, I'm not saying that what you're like completely against it, but in my experience, I was kind of in the same boat of like,
you can relate.
I can relate. I was like, I'm not going to church. Like, I look like going to church. I knew for a fact that God was real, and that was just me. I knew he was real. But it was just like, I don't need to go to church every Sunday to kind of like know that. But every holiday that falls on a Sunday, my mom made sure we all go as a family. It was just, you go. Like Easter Sunday, you go. Christmas, you go. It was just, you naturally go. Right. But I didn't really fall into line. I didn't really get the full experience until I did my own research. Until my grandmother was like, hey, we're going to watch a movie and we're going to all watch it together. Mm-hmm. And the movie that we watched together was The Passion of Christ. Passion of Christ. See, so we watched The Passion of Christ, and my grandmother said it right before the movie. It was just like, you watch it, you pick out what you want, and you go with what you feel after you watch it.
Yeah.
And I believe that that made me open up my eyes, open up my ears, open up my mind to like, hey, it could be a higher power, you know, mm-hmm. that's guiding us through everything. So that was just my experience. But then I still didn't go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I still didn't go to church, but I did have a better understanding. And it was easy for me to talk to my mom as I got older, because it was easy to talk to her about it, because my mom started to understand that this is just the way Robert is. You know, out of everybody in the family, this is just how Robert is. So when times got rough, my mom gave me scriptures. She always write down scriptures and tell me, hey, you need to, if you're feeling this way, you know, if you feeling like you're depressed, go to this scripture and read this. And I think that was my way. That was the way of my mom kind of taught me how, like, hey, yeah. I know you don't want to go to church every Sunday, but guess what? I know that this will help you more where you do your own research. And I want your research in this, on this book, you know, research in this chapter. And it was wonderful. So, you know, for that kid that's out there that's going through it, I say do your own research, or do a little bit of research or mine, or the way that you do it, look at it and figure out what's the best way that's going to make you understand it, and then present it to your family or your mom, your dad, or whoever it is, and just talk about it, because that's the best way to kind of getting through it, is talking about it as a family.
Well, I like what you said too, Roger, because everything you said was very respectful to your parents and the elders of your family. Because certain traditions, I mean, in our country, I think it's safe to say that in today's world, family time is less, community involvement is less. I think I saw a study recently, like saying church attendance for all religions is extremely low, extremely down. I'm not making a direct correlation to look at what's happening in our society to just people going to church or not, because I don't really know. I just heard these statistics, right? I can't really make a comment on like how those correlate. But I think what church, regardless what religion it is, if you look at it from a big perspective, it does keep a small community like our ancestors had. So when you go to church and you go frequently enough, like, you know those people, like you have familiarity with them. Like if they're going through a hard time, you know, it's what they call fellowshipping, right? Like people, like you get to know each other and you get to have this little community within your community. And that can be great, right? It doesn't matter if that's a softball league. You know, obviously, you know, when it's church, it's more about like God, it's more about helping others, service, stuff like that. And so I like how you said that, like in a respectful way, Rojo, because at the end of the day, parents, if they're telling you to read a scripture because that scripture has helped them get through a hard time, that's really no different than if you're saying, hey, mom, I'm sick. And she's like, what's your illness? And you tell her, you go, okay, take this, take that. These things are going to help you.
Right.
And if you have a good relationship with your parent, you're going to consider what they say and you're going to try it. If you don't have a good relationship with your parent, you're less likely you're going to try it. That's why with parents, I always tell them, you got to err on the side of the relationship. Yep. You don't want your kids to go to church so bad that now you're going to ruin, like not ruin, but you're going to risk like really having a lot of contention in relationship. Because I've had parents come to me and say, well, you know, can you do an agreement for me and my kids, one of your parent-teen agreements? I go, yeah, it's okay. Well, one of the things I want in the agreement is that if my kid don't go to church, they can't drive the car. I was like, oh, now God's in charge of driving, huh?
Wow.
I'm like, I don't, and I, my argument was like, I don't know. I was like, a God take the wheel. It's literally, I'm like, my argument is that I'm like, do you really want to put this in their head right now at this age? And in their mind was like, well, if I have to get all these other kids ready, this family, like 5-6 kids, and this kid won't come, all the other younger kids, now they don't want to come. It made the mom's life so much harder. So in that sense, I could see why she wanted to make like a demand. I said, the only problem with that is that when you're demanding your kid to go just to drive the car, doesn't mean that they're not going to go and be a disgruntled employee, pissed off and agitated, causing problems at church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They have to be willingly a participant of that process. You got to make a deal with them. But if you just strong arm them like that, and you got a kid, not all kids are going to do this, but some kids are going to make your life even worse hell if you got to make get them up for church. So there's lots of examples of deals that you can make with your kids. With Heidi, my old host of the Light the Fight podcast, she had this issue, and I just told her, okay, what's one thing to motivate your son? It's like, oh, he wants a brand new pair of Van shoes. There's these one custom ones, this and that. They're really expensive. I go, why don't you buy him that pair of shoes and say those will be his church Vans? Because he always wanted to go to church in a pair of Vans, so you can't wear Vans at church. I said, make an exception. What is the bishop going to kick you out because he's wearing a suit and a dope pair of nice Vans? She's like, I guess not technically. So she made a deal with her son. I'll buy you these pair of Vans, but you got to go to church to wear them. They'll be your church Vans. But then after a couple months, you can wear them like in normal situations. We'll buy you a new pair of Vans, like this revolving door. And he was like, really? Okay, cool. She's like, it worked. I didn't know. Yeah. I just had to buy a kid a pair of Vans because it was mutually benefiting.
Right.
It helped him and helped them that way. Now he's like, oh, God does really give you stuff that you want if you go to church. Okay. Like, what were some of your thoughts?
Man, like, man, that was a quick blessing. All, like, I'm going to start doing it again. I'm going to pray again tonight. Shoot. But nah, I agree with everything that you guys said. Like, there's really not too much to be said anymore. I mean, air on the side relationship connection is really key to everything. You know, when two parties have that understanding, you know, one of the things you said, it was open up, having it be a conversation. I think that's really important how you mentioned, well, you know, from the kids' perspective, asking the parents, what was it that made them so like convicted in the thought of going to church, right? And like Rojo was speaking about, it's like their life experiences kind of pushed them towards the, you know, going towards a higher power to bring them that peace, that strength, that comfort. And so, you know, listening to both you guys, I mean, I couldn't agree more, because when I was growing up, you know, just like Rojo said, if my mom, when she said, hey, if you want to look for strength, go to this chapter. And, you know, when I read that chapter, because I'm very philosophical, you know, it did something to me. And so it's basically trying to find your own understanding in the word that can motivate you in other aspects. But you guys hit the nail right on the head on everything, on every aspect. There's really not too much more to say, but just figure out and understand your own experience with the church, whether it be with the church or outside the church. It doesn't matter. Just find your own experience that's going to motivate you to be the best human being that you could possibly be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I caution all parents out there listening to this, just be really careful, because when your kids are 30, 40 years old, let's be honest now, what are the chances, or is there a chance that if you have four kids, that by the time they're full grown adults, that at least one of those kids, maybe two of those kids, may not want anything, may not go to the church, or may not be active in the church you want them to go to, there's a good chance. So does that mean at 40 years old, you're just not going to talk to them anymore? You're going to treat them differently? You're not going to help them out if they go through a divorce or a hard time? Of course you are.
Right.
Of course you're going to be there. So as a parent, I always caution, like, be really careful what we're doing, because this is a free choice. Like, this is something we get to choose. I know for most people I've talked to, you're more likely to give a religion or some sort of belief system a fair shot and a fair crack, and really take a good look at it and see if it'll be right for you, if your parents didn't put this major pressure on you to make you feel that if you don't do it, you're going to hell, you're in trouble. And parents rarely say those things, but it's the impressions that kids tell me that they get from their parents. And a lot of times parents don't have good arguments. They'll be like, well, you just need to do it. It's going to help your life, to save your life. If you don't do it, you won't be blessed. The kids were like, well, our neighbor down the street looks really blessed. They got nice cars. They got nice everything. They don't ever
got a Lamborghini outside.
On Sunday, they're at the baseball game, the football game. And then parents are like, well, you don't want to get in those debates. Be an example of what that religion is preaching, and then give your kids their own free agency. Now, if they're young, make deals with them, obviously, to try to motivate them, because sometimes for people it could just be like a family time, and less about like, hey, if you don't want to learn nothing while you're at church, you know, this, that, and the other, that's fine. But if you come, you don't cause any problems, you're not on your phone the whole entire time, then yeah, we can talk about some things that you want as well.
See, so, and let me add something quickly to that, because one of the biggest things that I understood with my son, and this is talking from a parent perspective, is that my son, it impressed me more that he understands the Bible. He can talk to me about the Bible and understands it And we don't go to church every Sunday, but it makes me feel better as a parent of like, hey, he understands it. And sometimes for me as a parent, it might be some parents that's out there that's listening, where sometimes making sure that your kid understand it is more important than making sure they go every Sunday. Because it's because you know, every Sunday, it's a word, it's something that's important that's being said. But if your son or your daughter or your child in general understands the Bible, it seems like it's like a, for me, it's like, okay, my son is cool. Like he understands it, you know, like.
Yeah.
And you bring up a good point, Rojo, because regardless of what religion you go to, I've tried so many different churches because of different friends. I don't know who impressed me with this, but like when a friend asks you, hey, come to my church, come with things, just always go yes. And just go and have the experience. I've sat in so many congregations of so many different types of church. Some of them were influenced by me being attracted to a girl that tried to bring me there. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, sure, I'll go to that. What's it? I can't even pronounce the name, but I'll go. You're cute. Let's go. Right. Like, and one thing that I got from going to all these different types of places is, like you said, Rojo, there's always a lesson as long as you're looking for a lesson.
Right.
Yep.
Like there's always something that you could gain from it. I mean, I don't know all religions out there, but the main ones I've gone to, whether it was like a, what do they call it? Non-denominational Christian churches, Catholic churches, Mormon churches. I mean, all different types of sects of religion, from Baptists to Seventh-day Adventists, like all these different types of churches. They all had different approaches, but they're all trying to say similar messages.
Yep.
Family, God, service, you know, other man, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. There's different stories of it. Some preachers are better than others, or some have different approaches. But at the end of the day, I think we're all looking for one thing, and that's connection with something of a higher power, something that gives us a purpose. Like, man, why am I on this earth? Why am I on this life? So when a young person says, I don't believe in this and I don't want that anymore, to me, that's not what they're really saying. What I hear them saying is that I don't know what I want in life. I'm confused. I see a lot of hypocrisy in my own parents because this is the religion that they represent. I hear what the religion's saying, but I hear what my parents are doing. You could take out Mormonism, put Catholicism, you put anything in there. Parents are going to look like hypocrites because all human beings, we have hypocrisy. We're going to make mistakes. Right. We're going to do something. Mistakes. We're going to say, you do this, but I don't have to do it. And so in those moments, of course, a kid's going to look at their parents and say, I don't want to be like that. I want to be better. And if being a part of that church means that I'm going to be just like them, you want your kids to see that the church is not you. You are not God. You are not like the mouthpiece for God to them. You're trying to be an example. When I say mouthpiece, not like, well, God told me to tell you that that dude, Johnny or Dayton's a piece of crap. I don't know. I mean, I'm not God, but I'm not sure if that's how the communication is directed. You know, the prophet told me that you shouldn't date Stacy. She crazy. And you know, it's like, okay, well, did he really tell you that? Or are you close with the prophet or the bishop or whoever it is? Right. My point is that let your kids have their own relationship with a higher power while you can still do some of the family, routines and some of the family time.
That's real. That's real.
I'm glad we took a little bit of extra time with that, because we got to pay a little reverence to those types of conversations.
Right.
Last thing I want to do is have kids listen to this, be like, oh yeah, the OG therapist said that I don't have to go to church, mom. Watch the episode. Drop. Yeah. Listen to the episode. I get some pissed off parent DMs, especially out here in Utah. Like, that is not what I say. You got to listen to the whole episode.
Whole episode. You know, they're going to click whole episode. Clip it when they want it.
Yeah. Well, you guys, as always, thank you for following us here on OG Therapy. Thanks for following us on OG Therapy. Is it what's
OG
the one?
OG.
Gosh, I can never forget our social media. OG dot therapy on Instagram. On Instagram, you can follow me at David_KOZLOWSKI_ Rojo, how can they follow you on?
Robert L. Johnson 32, and that's my Instagram handle. And then on Twitter is TheRojo32.
My handles is KScott_2, and that's on Instagram and Twitter.
All right, you guys. Well, thank you very much for following us here. And you can also follow Light the Fight until we get officially changed over to OG Therapy on YouTube as well. And like I said, go hit us up on Patreon on www.patreon.com/Light the Fight. And just costs a few bucks, but you get lots of extra content. And like we always say when we're leaving you with these episodes, remember, when life and stress has you down on your knees, don't forget, you can just come listen to your OGs. Until next time.